You are listening to a colorful episode of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast.
Episode 103 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is September the 15th, 2013. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my iOS brother, James Furlough.
Woohoo! Pumped!
Oh, did you just see what I just did there?
What? Oh my goodness.
Did you see what I just did there?
That is beautiful, man.
Did you see that?
That is a beauty. That is a beaut.
What? Yes.
I love it. Oh, man.
For those of you who are listening to it, I am currently wearing a Furlough Bros t-shirt. What?
That's awesome. See, we didn't even get early access.
I know, I had to order it after we unveiled it.
Yeah. Are we going to announce the winner soon of our contest? Because we never actually did that.
Were we going to announce? I didn't know about the announce part.
Do we not? Well, I mean, you know.
Thought we were just giving them away. Okay. We can talk about it offline.
So this week is not going to be the week that it'll happen, if it ever happens.
Yeah, so, yeah. But yeah, I got my t-shirt. I'm good to go.
Nice, I like it.
Looks nice. I get a lot of comments. Especially people, you'll appreciate this, they go, why is your face on that shirt?
Nice. You know what? That's exactly what I wanted to hear. See, I'm really going to confuse everybody because I made that shirt. I may not get that comment because I made that shirt 120 pounds ago and about 5 inches of beard ago.
Well, there's really only one way to find out, man. You got to get yourself one.
I'm doing it tonight, I swear.
Okay, good. All right, cool.
Of course, if our cousins are and family are correct, they'll ask me the same question, why is your face on that? But they'll be talking about Luigi and not Mario.
Oh, yeah, perhaps.
All of a sudden, they say that I look like you, and I'm like, I don't look that ugly. Anyways,
I'm just going to let that one go.
I appreciate that. You know, it's the older, mature James Furlough. But this week, we're not going to talk about family competitions. We're going to talk about technology in the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing, and Apple. Before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a short disclosure that he just wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP's opinion of Apple or any other opinion.
If you'd like to follow us throughout the week, we do all sorts of cool things on the social media front, including about Tech Talk and other exciting things goings on in our life. If you want to follow us on the Twitter, I'm at Matthew D. Furlough. I'm NextWiggin4 on Instagram. Threw you off there, James.
It's okay. You know, I just went with it. I am at James Furlough on Twitter, James Furlough on Instagram, James Furlough on Facebook, JamesFurlough.com on the regular web, James Furlough and other places.
You know,
unless I'm not, in which case I'm Furlough Pro 27.
Let's say the reality of it is, if you were just to Google Matthew Dean Furlough or James Furlough, you'd get like all these hits, or better yet, go to furloughbros.com, where we have all sorts of clicks and links, including all the articles that we talk about this week, show cuts for each of the different stuff, a link to the YouTuber, and everything else that might tickle your fancy, that might want you, you know, you want to get into, you want to know about. It's all there. We host it. It's pretty awesome. I recommend you go and check her out. And you could also go back and listen to old episodes where we make predictions and they all come right.
Even when we disagree on a prediction, they both come right.
Yes.
which is a reference. Here's the teaser because we'll get into it a little later. But for the Apple announcement, we literally disagreed a little more I don't want to say this. You know, we weren't cutthroat at each other, but we disagreed.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, and Apple was kind enough to make both true. So, kind of, which is, you know, like a tie and horrible.
Yeah.
What was it they would always say in football? It was a tie is like kissing your sister.
Yep.
Got a kiss.
But oh, that's
so
weird.
That's how that went down.
But,
yeah. It is weird, which is a tie.
Yeah.
It's kind of how you feel about it. Like, yeah.
You know, it's funny. There is not a single, like, there's nothing less important. And, well, okay, there's a lot less important in life than your high school football record. That being said, it's pretty significantly unimportant. And tying the championship game my junior year, I barely even played in the game. But the fact that we tied still kind of hurts my soul. I would have rather just lost.
I have trouble empathizing with you.
Yeah, you know what? You just go away. I don't need to talk.
Because I didn't tie or lose.
Anyways, so this week we're going to talk about ever. Technology and the continuing
corporate opera. Straight wins 26 times.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you. Appreciate that. as I was saying. So this week, if you're listening last week, one of the things I was really kind of amped for, because I'd like to spend my money this way, but I want to wait till the latest generation, is I am super stoked for an Apple TV hardware update.
Yes, you are.
And I was kind of waiting anxiously for Tuesday, hoping that, you know, they might have something else special up their sleeves. I was doubtful, but now there's new rumors about it coming out on the 18th. Whatever. You know what? I don't even want to listen anymore.
On the 18th?
Yeah. They're talking about it going on sale with.
That's just like a firmware, like a software update. I mean, they're not doing SDK anything big, right? They're just, we're making improvements.
Yeah, well, they're saying that the new OS, the iOS 7, they're going to make a, they're going to do a big update to the Apple TV OS at the same time, which will coincide with new hardware. But who knows when they're actually going to make the announcement, what's going to look
well,
like.
Well, if Cook's definition of something new and amazing is the iPhone 5S, kind of shocked that they would just do a regular announcement and not, like, trump it out.
Yeah.
The tech folks. But anyways, Apple TV. So
I say all this to say Sony managed to step up to bat where Apple failed this week, and they launched a new mini TV thing, and it's actually kind of cool. It's called the PS Vita TV, and the long and short of what it is it's a PS Vita, but instead of a screen, it has an HDMI output, and it plugs into your TV, and it gives you the whole PS Vita ecosystem, which actually makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, you know, what is the PlayStation 3 if it weren't, you know, they're one of their big things is they like to turn these into media centers, right?
Right.
They want more than just games, and essentially what this is it's the media center with the ability to play PS Vita games and old school PS PlayStation games and PlayStation 2 games, I believe it can even do as new as that. And so they're launching that before the PlayStation 4 goes on sale. But it's this very low cost hardware introduction to the PlayStation universe ecosystem. That's kind of clever. I actually like it. And what people think is that this is a direct response to the fact that Apple's going to open up the SDK to allow for controllers to connect via Bluetooth to the Apple TV.
Controllers, you mean iPhones and iPads?
No, like video game controllers. Like, you can make hardware.
Really?
Like, buttoned hardware so that you can control, like, for example, a PlayStation controller. You'd be able to connect that via Bluetooth to an Apple TV so you can play
games. So that was just an example? Or are you talking about, like, a PlayStation or an Xbox controller?
That is an example of one of the types of controllers that you theoretically will be able to.
Okay, all right, I understand.
That's where the rumors are going and everything, and so presumably Sony, you know, with their industrial espionage, knows what Apple's doing behind closed doors, and so they kind of pre-launched this one as a. Back in the day, if you
but this
remember,
is only for Asia, right? It's not coming to the United States.
What?
Right?
I don't remember that part.
I just threw you, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't. Did I not?
Let's see here. Although Sony announced earlier today that the PS4 would come to Japan months later than the rest of the world, the PS TV, Vita TV looks like a good bet for the region. I could have sworn I read somewhere that it was.
It looks like it's launching
in Japan
first.
The initial announcement is focused on Japan, which exists as an entirely different media landscape. Oh, yeah, yes. If Sony can offer a similar content lineup for the PS Vita TV in the West. So far not here.
Yeah, which is a bummer. But I like it because, number one, you know, Sony quite famously, when the iPod Touch was first launched, when the SDK really – it's actually after the SDK and the whole apps – thing for the iPod Touch, you know, everybody started going out and buying iPod Touches instead of PS Vitas, and they said, you know, when confronted about it, PlayStation said, well, we're not worried about it because we don't compete with the iPod Touch, to which you're like, well, if people have $150 to spend or $200 to spend on hardware, and they're buying a iPod Touch to play games instead of a PS Vita to play games.
You're competing.
Yeah, you are by definition competing. So it's nice to see Sony not taking the wait and see approach to this one.
I really feel like you know, Sony has a new boss in this last year or so.
Yeah.
I remember they had their big shakeup, and you know, and I genuinely feel like they are making smart decisions now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the last round or so, like this example that you were talking about, and even with the PS3, it was like they didn't. They were making good stuff, but they weren't competing well. They were missing some like obvious. Come on, guys, pay attention to what's happening to you. And now that it feels more holistic, like, okay, you guys get it, and you're actively responding to competition. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They had good reason to be confident, but they were acting with a tremendous amount of hubris, and it was really leaving some big gaps for them. And so yeah, I feel like this is not as big of a, you know, you're not seeing that this time around, which is exciting because, you know, Sony's a good company and they have good hardware, they have good products, and I hate to see them just get pummeled because they're not paying attention. And you know, this essentially is a, you know, it's an old school PlayStation with the, you know, Hulu and stuff. And honestly, like, you know, if they were to do it, well, you know, I'm, jeez, Apple has got me by the throat. You know, I'm, it's like, because my, you know, I come back to, it's like, you know, I get all this content from Apple, you know, and every week it feels like I go deeper down the rabbit hole. So the new season of, Avatar Korra, The Legend of Korra.
Really?
Just Friday, new episodes.
Really?
For season two. And I got the season pass through iTunes, so it downloads as soon as the show's done airing, so I can watch it on any one of my platforms. And it's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to get a PS Vita and then PS Vita TV and download the shows through iTunes, put it on a jump drive, drop it on. It's just, no, I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if I had a little more open of an ecosystem, I could see definitely wanting to jump stuff over to that. And I don't know, it's a cool price point, you know, makes sense. And it plays all the old PlayStation games, which is, you know, for those nostalgic folks, you know, there's a good, and, you know, I don't know, it's cool. It's a cool little thing. I'm glad to see Sony definitely stepping it up. And
it's price to sell.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not a It's not throwaway Chromecast cheap, but I think it's a much better. It's a much better hardware offering, better hardware software lineup. You know, it doesn't mirror Chrome, which is kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
Nice job, Sony.
Yeah. What I want to do is dip my toe into the announcement.
Okay.
But we won't go there yet. Because I've noticed something happening.
Okay.
You know, when they announced iOS 7, people were like, it's going to change everything all over again. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I'm finding this to be true, which is a little disconcerting. So there are two apps, one of which I actually use really regularly, and the other one I use semi-regularly. The first one being Reader, which is, care to guess what that does? it's an RSS reading app. I have the original version for iPhone, and it was kind of weird. They were pay. You buy an iPhone one, and then you had a separate iPad app, and then a separate Mac app, and you had to pay for each of them.
Oh, geez.
But once you bought it, you owned it, and you got free updates, whatever. Same with Clear. It's a to-do list type thing. You buy it, and then, you know, whatever. In all situations, I somehow managed to get mine for free, you know, wait for discounts or single-day promotions, and, you know, and you pick them up. But, you know, normally they're pay.
Yeah.
So both of these examples here, they said they're coming out with, you know, it's an iOS 7 specific app. For like with Reader, he's now coming out with a unified app, at least for the iPhone and iPad. But he's calling it Reader 2 as a new app that you buy for a couple bucks. And Clear is doing the same thing. Clear 2, iOS 7 centric. And again, you pay a couple bucks to buy them.
That's annoying.
Yeah. There's a part of me, though, that's like, you know, iOS 7 is genuinely different. It probably takes some time to re-architect it and, you know, make it look nice and whatever.
64 bits of niceness.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, in this one, the Reader guy, was it the Reader guy? No, it was the Clear guys, whatever, doesn't matter. You know, they're like, we would charge for a software update, but Apple doesn't allow us to do that, so we're just creating a new generation, and we'll stop supporting the other one, and, you know, whatever.
You know, it's funny. You know, the Apple, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Apple sets the standard that updates are free. And for them, it's really easy to, you know, we're going to make...
Most updates are free, right? iOS 7 will be free, but when they do a Mac update, it's not free.
Right. What I was going to say is, you know, it's like now they're giving away the iWork suite free, and it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's awesome because everything's free because we're making money hand over fist, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're just an app developer and you require, you know, and you rely on one solid app, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, there is a long tradition and a reasonable one, I think, of, you know, having your base users pay for updates to, you know, you continue to do work on the apps. You know, why would you never get charged for it? If, you know, and I would argue that it's like, if that's going to be your model, then you should go to a subscription model. And, or, you know, it's like, because, you know, and I guess what my thought is, or you know, because there's this weird world, right? It's like, if you look at the internet is constantly updating. Every time you connect to the server, you get the latest update. You right. don't keep old versions. And so in some ways, the app ecosystem reflects that. In other ways, it doesn't. And so I think if you were to kind of just go off of the basis that we're going to reflect the internet model where it's free to use the service or the product, and you get continual updates, you know, or, you know, you pay once or a subscription. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird world. And I don't hold them against them for trying that. But, you know, the thing is that if you do that, now it gives a bunch of people an excuse to go and try a different product. I mean, you've got to be really confident.
That's true.
You know, that your product is the best one out there, that people are going to continue to pay for it. It's a risk, and it gives other people an opportunity to compete.
Well, I can tell you exactly what happened to me with the Reader app. I was using their current iPhone app, reading my RSS news, and I read that article on my reader app. Okay?
Right.
I read it, went, shut down my reader app, removed it from my tray at the bottom, which has the persistent four apps, and replaced it with the Feedly app, and went, okay.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I use the Feedly app, and it is it's a great little app, you know, and it's free.
But there's a situation, right, where he came out. I mean, I actively, you know, hours use this app, which probably means, you know, in some ways, oh, James, just pay for it. But that's the risk, exactly what you were talking about, where you get someone like me who goes, man, there's another option. It's free. Why wouldn't I decide that I dislike that one? Which Feedly only has one really annoying habit, which I don't know how to fix, and I'm not going to worry about it. But and quite frankly, Reader opened web pages weird, and sometimes you couldn't save them, and that was annoying. But that's a different story altogether. You know, so it wasn't absolutely perfect to the point where I was like, oh, I love this, I have to have it. You know, there was some wonkiness to it, just enough that I let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's like you said, you got to be really confident. And the Clear app is one that I honestly use it as a way to track some projects and things that I don't want in my normal to-do flow. Like, if we got work we're doing on the duplex, I put it in there. That way I just have a running tab of what it is, and it's not stuck in my normal flow of things. But it's interesting that, one developer does it, you go, okay, fine. You know, whatever, they're trying stuff. You get two who kind of announce it, and they don't seem like they're playing off each other. You're like, huh, there's something here.
You want to know something really fascinating?
I do. I would love to know something fascinating.
So back in the day, I got a free version of Tetris, and I thought it was one of the best Tetris apps, and it was made by Electronic Arts, as they own the rights, and the dude who actually made Tetris has made pennies off of it over the eons, because he was a communist, and that's what he gets. But EA currently owns rights. They made an app, they put it out there, and they decided they weren't making enough money off of it because it's Tetris and they should make more money off of it. So they started doing some wonkiness where they did exactly what you were talking about, where they were going out and they were pushing out different apps, and they were like, they discontinued support of the one that I had, but if you had it, you could still play it. So I kept playing it. And for like 3 years, it went on that, like, that. I mean, I've had this app forever. And about 6 months ago, they started updating the app again. Because for whatever reason, the user base on that app was big enough where they decided, you know what, and, you know, maybe we add ads, maybe we do something, but they, you know, seems worthwhile to support this user base again. And so they came back around. Wow. I don't know. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, you might find that, you know, they realize that that was a terrible decision. It's dramatically hurting our usage. People are using other products, and they you know, turn course. And if you bought both apps, you're up a creek. And if you didn't, you know, you get support again. So, you know, it's interesting watching developers, like you said, you know, it's the creative destruction of capitalism, as it were called, and you know, that allows that, you know, all these different people trying different stuff out, and we're still early enough in the, you know, app economy where people are still figuring out the best way to try to monetize this over the lifetime of a company. You know, one company that hasn't figured it out, Zynga. A huge long article that was mostly depressing and not terribly interesting about why they've completely collapsed, and but basically they didn't actually come up with any fun games was the long and short of the problem. They kept buying people with fun games that really only have user attention spans for about 20 minutes. And it turns out you can't make money off of that.
Well, it was like you did. And those people who developed them made the money during the ramp up. And then Zynga bought them. You know, they always bought high. They never bought low.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was the long and short of it. It was like terrible mismanagement. And it was like, the one things that internal employees were saying is it's like they had these, you know, they weren't trying to build better machines. They had these money-making machines. They're like, help us oil it so we can keep turning out money. Like, yeah, but the machine's already broken down. So how is oiling it going to help? But
makes it slippery.
Anyways, so it's fun to see everybody trying to figure out how to not starve to death while making apps, you know. And Apple's given them this new opportunity.
So they're going to try it, which makes sense.